Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
You may know me from my own YouTube channel, but tonight, we are here to fight for you all. We are here to win back the house. That is our goal. And there's a reason we came to Omaha. We came to Omaha for a very specific reason. It's because we want to let you know that we hear you, we see you, and as someone who grew up in Indiana as a blue dot with people around me that I always had to defend my values, I want you guys to know that we are here for you. We hear you tonight, and we see you. We are going to fight for you until the very end. Right now, we have a few beautiful things happening. We have both on-the-ground and in-person movements sprouting up across the country. Whenever you take a loss, it's time to pick the pieces back up and figure out how we can put them together. And that's why we're here tonight. So when it comes to on-the-ground movements, I want to give a huge shout out to Move On for putting this event on. Put your hands together for Move On. I look into the crowd at the event that Move On put together, and I see diversity in age, diversity in backgrounds, but we're all here with one common goal, and that is to beat this gangster regime. Tell them to keep their hands off of our country. Now, along with the on-the-ground movements like Move On, which is very important, we also have online movements that are growing, like Midas Touch. Who here knows Midas Touch? Everybody knows Midas Touch. You want to know why? It's because we are beating Fox News. We are beating Fox News right now. So It's been a hard few months for everybody. You know, this administration, they came in. Do you guys remember when Elon Musk was walking around the White House? That feels like a different reality. They came in, and they thought that we were going to give up. They thought that we were going to lie down. They thought that we weren't going to fight anymore. But I want you to look at the banner behind me. You know what we said? We said, we won't back down. We won't back down. Say it one more time. We won't back down. And that's what's important. That we never back down. We've seen massive Medicaid cuts to the most vulnerable communities. We've seen ICE kidnapping people. ICE has been targeting people who are going to immigration courthouses. They want to have their day in court, and they came to this country to live a better life. And ICE is targeting these people. Not people who are committing crimes like Trump promised. No, people who want to live a better life. And it's disgusting. Right now, the National Guard was mobilized to D.C., a few nights ago, I was on CNN debating Scott Jennings, and he said, I don't care what... You're cheering for me, not Scott Jennings, right? Yeah. But he said, you know, I don't care what the people of D.C. think. I care what the president thinks. And these aren't the type of people we should be listening to. Yeah, boo. These aren't the type of people that should be in power. So one more time, the reason that we're in Omaha tonight is to listen to you all. To hear you all. So we have some amazing speakers coming on, and then we'll do a Q&A with the audience. The first speaker that we have for the night is the youngest representative in Congress. I want you all to welcome Representative Maxwell Frost of Florida.
Omaha! How we feeling today, Omaha? Let me hear it. Whoa, back down, say it. Say it, won't back down. Say it. Say it. Nah, but I love this one. You can't stop the revolution. You can't stop the revolution. How we feeling today, Omaha? How we feeling? Well, well, what a beautiful venue. I am so proud to be here with you all the way from the great state of Florida. Hey, well, I used to say the great state. Now I usually say the beautiful state because we are a beautiful state of beautiful people. Happen to be run by fascists right now. But just like we're going to do in the midterms, we're going to vote them out. But I got to tell you, today I'm actually feeling really good. Not just because I'm here in Omaha, Nebraska with all of you beautiful people, but because in my home state, many of us have been engaged in a hard fight. You know, a few months ago, our governor, you might have heard of him, Ron DeSantis, the guy who eats the yogurt with his fingers, he announced that he was going to build essentially an internment camp in the middle of the Everglades for immigrants. He called this place so-called Alligator Alcatraz. And so about a month and a half ago, I became one of the first politicians to go in and use my power of oversight to look at what the hell is going on in there. But I didn't go there to go on a field trip. I went in there to see what was going on, to tell the public, but not just tell the public, but to tell our partners, the Friends of the Everglades, the Miccosukee Tribe, and the Center for Biological Diversity, that engaged in a lawsuit to tear and close the place down. And we just heard about 24 hours ago that the judge has ruled that Alligator Alcatraz has to shut down. They can't send another immigrant to that place. We will flip the house. And not only will we flip the house, but we will elect a pro-democracy, democratic, pro-worker president in 2028 as well. And when we have the levers of power, because I got to tell you, throughout this administration, we've been taking notes and writing bills. Because if Donald Trump has shown us one thing, is we have some potholes in our democracy. And he won't be the last authoritarian to try to come to power and tear it all apart. So we have to strengthen our democracy by getting rid of super PACs and getting big money out of our elections. We have to ensure that we pass legislation to ensure health care for every person in this country. We have to ensure that everybody that can work has a job and a federal jobs guarantee in this country. And making sure that this democracy works for all of us. Look, let me wrap up with this. 50% of this country doesn't vote. 50%. And listen, I know, it's horrible. But we have to be a movement. And movements are not about subtraction. It's about addition. Okay? And that, and I'll tell you this as a young black Latino kid raised in the South that went to Southern Baptist Church my whole life, I can tell you this, shaming people into something almost never works. And when it does work, it harbors resentment. What we have to do is inspire people with an agenda worth fighting for. Because the truth of the matter is there so many people in this country, there's so many young people in this country especially, who feel like, why should I work to protect a democracy that I feel like isn't protecting me? Our answer can't be, shut the hell up, you're wrong, grow up. But it has to be, I understand where you're coming from. Because look, I got involved in politics when I was 15 years old because I didn't want to get shot in my school. Because I didn't want to get shot in my school. So, are you guys ready to build a movement to take back the House next year in 2026? Are you ready to fight for big, bold proposals that'll change this country to work for all of us, not those at the top? And are you ready to fight in the footsteps of the great freedom fighters, people like Angela Davis, who said, I am no longer accepting what I cannot change. I am changing what I cannot accept. Are you ready, Omaha? Are you ready, Omaha? Well, let's get it done. Won't back down. Won't back down. Thank you all so much. Have a good day. I'll be back.
There is nothing more important than the fresh emerging leaders within the Democratic Party. And that is an amazing, amazing example. Put your hands together for Representative Maxwell Frost. There's also nothing more important than getting a bunch of people in a room that have one common goal. Even if we do have different beliefs or different backgrounds, we have the common goal of restoring our democracy, and that's what we are doing here today. You guys get to be the power block that pushes us over the finish line. You guys help choose which leaders we platform, choose which leaders we help move through the party, and I just want to know that we are eternally grateful that you're here. Next, we have one of your favorite senators, your favorite senator, Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Nebraska. Now, some of you may know I grew up 600 miles due south of here in Oklahoma. We got any Okies in the room? Wow! Oh, not many, but they are loud. Not many, but they are loud. That means I grew up on OU Nebraska football in the glory days. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I grew up with three older brothers, all served in the military. Yep. Oldest brother, 244 combat missions in Vietnam. We were lucky to get that guy back. I grew up in a family that never spent a single day that we didn't worry about money, that we didn't always count how much there was, what we had, how much longer it had to last. And when I was about 12, my daddy had a heart attack, and it nearly wiped us out. The bills piled up, we lost the car, and we came about that close to losing our home. And I remember the day that I walked into my parents' bedroom, and my mother, her face was red and puffy, and she's walking back and forth, and she was saying, "We will not lose this house. We will not lose this house. We will not lose this house." She was terrified. And I was 12 years old looking at her, and I was terrified. And my mother did what a lot of mamas had done. She pulled on her best dress, she put on her high heel shoes, she walked to the Sears, and she got a minimum wage job answering phones. And that minimum wage job saved our house, and it saved our family. My mother, my brothers, they taught me about courage, and they taught me about people who fight for what they believe in. They taught me about people who fight for their families, who fight for their neighbors, who fight for their communities, who fight for their country. I am proud of that America. I am proud of that America, and I use my voice as best I can to fight for that America. Because that is not the America that Donald Trump wants to build. Donald Trump's America is an America where every day billionaires get richer. Every day you, good families, hardworking families, are asked to give up just a little more so that billionaires can buy another island, can buy another yacht. Well, I am here with my friend, Maxwell Frost, to say I believe in an America that works for all of us, and we will not back down. The truth is, We're out there to fight for something. We're out there to fight for an America that just works better. We're out there to fight for an America where we actually have, God, I sound like a nerd, but reasonable tariff policies so that we can bring down grocery costs, right? And that's what Democrats are going to do. We're gonna call out the liar in the White House. We're going to call out every one of these damned Republican senators and Republican representatives. These spineless creatures who cannot stand up to Donald Trump. We are going to call them out and say, we are not going to help you build an America that just makes a handful of billionaires richer while everybody else gets poorer. We, Democrats, people who are in this fight, patriots, we are the people who will fight for an America where people can afford their groceries. Fight for an America where mamas and daddies have access to child care. Fight for an America where housing is available to first-time home buyers and to renters and to people with no housing at all. And by God, we are going to fight for an America where everybody has access to health care. This is a moment to fight, but understand this, it is a moment of hope. It is a moment of hope because look around this room. This is where power is. You are the people that Donald Trump is afraid of. Donald Trump wants to shut down democracy because that's the only way he can hang on to power. He wants to change the rules because he knows if everybody votes, he loses. I am here tonight, this afternoon, with you because I have that hope in my heart. Because I'm still that 12-year-old girl who watched my mama pull on her best dress, put on her high-heel shoes, and do what damn well needed to be done. We are fighting the righteous fight, and we won't back down.
This is the energy that the party needs. The energy in this room is what the Democratic Party needs. A room full of fighters. I know you guys see what I see. Like I said earlier, after a loss, you pick up the pieces, and now we see new leaders emerging within the party. Not quite new, but how do you guys feel about Governor Gavin Newsom stepping up to the plate lately? He's been killing. And of course, on this stage, we've got some brilliant, brilliant leaders. And now we're going to ask some questions. We're going to have a chat, and then we're going to open it up to a few audience questions. So it's going to be good. I want to start off here. Now, Donald Trump's approval rating has been rapidly slipping, but that does not, that's a good thing, right?
Not fast enough.
But that doesn't automatically mean that Democrats are popular. In fact, the Democratic Party's approval rating is also near an all-time low. So the question is, what do Democrats need to do to win back Congress in the midterms and just win back the people?
Well, I got to tell you, nobody elected the Democrats to lie down and play dead. The number one thing we got to do is stand up and fight back. And we got this coming up in September. I want to say this again. Up in September, the Republicans are going to need Democratic votes to keep this budget, to pass a budget. Republicans now own it. They got the House, they got the Senate, they got the White House. They got to do what Congresses have done time immemorial and sit down and negotiate. And what we're going to stand up and fight for is we are going to fight for health care, for our babies, for our best friends, and for our seniors. They're going to give it to us, and we're going to fight back. I think that's a key part.
So you'll use your leverage to fight back.
Yeah, you know, I want to say on this, we don't have as much power as we want. And damn, it is frustrating sometimes in Washington. He does things and you want to say, my God, can't you stop him? And sometimes the answer is no. But not having as much power as you want is not the same thing as having no power at all. We have power and we must use it. Mark it September.
Representative Frost, what are your thoughts? As a young dude in the party, I want to know, how do you think we win back not only the people, but also younger people?
You know, I agree with everything Senator Warren said. The other part of this, too, is it's fighting back against Donald Trump, but it's also the fact that we can't win an election just giving people something to vote against. We have to give people something to vote for, right? And I think this is when, you know, we have this family discussion within the party. What do we stand for, and what does it mean? And for me, you know, it has to be simple. We need an agenda that we run on, that we win on, and that we do. And when you do that, it helps earn the trust of the people. You mentioned that the party's approval ratings are so low. What's one of the ways to get it up? You know, people tend to like you more when you win. And so I think one of the ways we can win is putting up a bold agenda and getting back to what the Democratic Party really is about. Think about all these things that are a fact of life. Social Security, Medicare. These are things that were called radical, crazy things when they were proposed and passed by Democrats. Now they're a fact of life. And what, you know, I know it feels like it's hard to dream right now because we're fighting back against things, but I still dream all the time about the future when people will look at our healthcare for all system that we passed and they go, this is such a fact of life. It's so normal. We'll look at each other and go, it was anything but normal just 10 years ago. And so I think we have to think about what's that thing? What's our Social Security? What's our Medicare? What are we going to do to build upon what we have to make sure that everyone has what they need in the richest country on the face of the earth?
And when you run on a bold agenda, and then you enact that agenda, it connects a line in people's minds. Like, hey, I can trust this party to get into office and to fight for me. Representative Frost, how do you think we can support younger people who are seeking office, who might have passion for getting in local or federal office? What's your advice, since someone's done it?
I have some experience here. You know, one of the most difficult things for me when I was running for Congress was actually things in my personal life. Running for office, especially running for Congress, is a full-time job. And a lot of people who run, you know, you have money in the bank to be able to put your all into the campaign. And at the time, I was the national organizing director of March for Our Lives, the organization that came after the shooting that happened in Parkland. And I decided to quit my job to run for Congress. I had some money in the bank, and I told myself, you know what, this is enough money to live off of for a year and a half. Breaking news, it was not enough money to live off of for a year and a half. And not just that, but this was when the rent hike freeze was lifted in the state of Florida. And right after that freeze happened, I get a text from my landlord, next month, your rent's going up 33%. So I was priced out of my apartment. I experienced homelessness for 2 months because of that, and because I didn't have an income. And then I figured I could start, you know, driving Uber to help pay for my bills. And the reason I bring this up is because had I had a family, had I not been just like some guy who could, you know, slum it out for a year and a half, I would have dropped out. There is a reason why there aren't more young people in the United States Congress. There are institutional barriers to us being able to have a fair shot at even running for the office itself. And look, I always say I won because we had the right message. We built the best volunteer operation. We knocked on every damn door. We called every number. We outworked everyone. And the fifth one I always say is it was the right place, right time. There was a little bit of luck. And I bring that up because I don't want people to see, like, I'm not a singular figure. There are so many young people across this country that can and should be in office and positions of leadership. But our government has to do more. It shouldn't be easy to run for office, but it shouldn't be damn near impossible. And we have a lot to do. And I mentioned getting rid of super PACs, getting big money out of politics. These are the sorts of things we can do. And the fact that when you're running for office and you don't have a job and that's your full-time job, people have to pay their rents. They have to take care of their families. How do we make it so, you know, people can have a stipend? Different things like this to make it more accessible so young people and young working families can be represented in Congress. But I'll say it again. Part of the problem is not that there isn't enough young people who want to be involved or that can do it. There is an abundance of young people who can do this and should do this. But we have to get rid of a lot of these hurdles that are meant to keep them out of it and not even consider it.
Senator Warren, what would be your message to the emerging leaders within the Democratic Party?
Fight back. You don't get what you don't fight for. I want to say about young people being in these fights, what Maxwell says is exactly right. The barriers are way, way too high. But all of us have to be willing to stand with those who run. You know, the best part when I ran, because I ran, I was obviously much older than you are when you ran for the first time, but I was also a total novice in it. When I ran, I'd never knocked on a door. I had never been involved in any of the political, I was a policy nerd. That was my entire, and when people were calling me, there was a Republican incumbent in Massachusetts, people were calling me saying, you should run against this guy. You will lose, but you should run.
I love when they say that.
Yeah, exactly. My opening line is, Democrats, get a better sales pitch. But the part that truly moved me were the people who said, if you will run, I will help you. I will take off Tuesday afternoons and I'll make phone calls. I'll come run the office on Saturday mornings. I know how to do web design and I will set up something for you. I will monitor this. I will help push back. Because running for office is not something you do by yourself. And so you can either do it with an entire team that your billionaire fortune hires, or you can do it with people like the people in here who say, you take point and I will be a part of that. And so I say to every young person, volunteer to take point, but I say to everybody else, volunteer to help those who take point. Yeah.
Very, very well said. We're going to take some questions from the audience in just one second, but I do have one more question for you guys, both of you guys. What's your plan to message around not only the National Guard deployment to D.C., but now it seems like we have 19 more states it was? Senator Warren, you want to hop in?
Oh, let me just start with, it's time for the District of Columbia to be a state.
Yep.
Look, we need in America to pass a Voting Rights Act. And that means that everybody has access to the vote. It means no more gerrymandering anywhere. And by golly, it means DC statehood. Yep.
Any thoughts?
You know, I think because there's so many people and, you know, you hear a lot of like people and pundits and folks in a lot of mainstream media too say, Democrats shouldn't talk about this because it's a distraction. You know, you hear that. And when you call something a distraction, you're implying that we shouldn't pay attention to it, that we should pay attention to the other thing. And there's folks who want us to believe that there's like two different things going on. On one end, we have the big ugly law. We have the largest transfer of wealth from the working class to the billionaires, gutting Medicaid, gutting nutritional assistance, and we have the cost of living. And then on the other hand, we have the federal government occupying our cities, ICE terrorizing our communities, kidnapping people and human trafficking them to other countries, and the taking away of our democracy. And the thing here is, it's not two different things, it's the same damn thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. These aren't things to distract from one another. This is things to enable the other thing. Because the only way you pass the big, ugly law and feel like you won't feel the political repercussions is by deploying the military to our streets, is by scaring people with ICE, is by trying to gerrymander the hell out of the country. So it's not two different things or three different things going on. It's the same story. And it's a story that a lot of us are familiar with. The rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. Let me tell you, my first time I went to the Everglades detention facility, Alligator Alcatraz, I saw two private planes on the tarmac. And I asked, who do those private planes belong to? They don't look like state planes. They said, oh, they're executives from two of the biggest corporations that are running the place. And I gotta tell you, when I was there, I barely saw any law enforcement or even the National Guard. It was all privately run. $450 million of Florida taxpayer monies going to billionaires and mega corporations. So it's the same damn story. And what we have to do as political leaders, as organizers, as activists, is be able to tell that story. Not say, we're not going to talk about this thing because we want to talk about this other thing, but be able to say, it's all one thing. It's all one story. And it's all about taking stuff away from you and giving it to them like it's been going on for decades.
And it also makes a lot of sense when you look at it through the framework of this administration just lying about everything. It doesn't have to be a distraction. They can be lying about the big, ugly bill, lying about the Epstein list, 100%, lying about the way that they are enacting these ICE raids. They're just liars.
Hey everybody, Adam Mockler here. If you enjoyed this in-person, on-the-ground event, we will be doing more. I'll announce the next one soon. Just make sure you are subscribed to the Adam Mockler channel. Make sure you like the Adam Mockler feed, and I'll see you all in the next one. Peace out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.